to Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. That's in the New Testament, over toward the end of your New Testament, book of Revelation. Back up a few pages, and you'll go through John and Peter, and then you'll go through James. Come to Hebrews chapter 6. Chapter 6, we're going to look at the first two verses, and I need you to keep your Bible open today because we're going to use it going to several different places in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to take verses 1 and 2 as our reading this morning. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I'll read verse 1. Would you join me on verse 2 together? And then we'll have our prayer and song, jump into the message after that. The Bible says, chapter 6, verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your book. We pray that you'll bless its reading and our hearing this morning. And then, Lord, bless the preaching of it. Now, may we come with an open spirit. May we come, Lord, with ground that will be good ground to receive your word. May the Spirit of God implant the truth into our hearts. May it be written on the fleshly tables of our hearts this morning. And may we benefit from being here. Lord, if there's a soul without Christ in this room, I pray most of all that that person will see the need of Jesus and salvation and come to him. And we'll thank you for it. Speak to us, I pray. Bless the singer, the song, and the message to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
When engulfed by the terror of tempest you see, unknown waves before you roll, at the end of this long tunnel is eternity. No fear in conflict seize your soul, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. When surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home.
Good to have Rick home for the Christmas break. He'll be leaving tomorrow morning, I believe, flying back to Florida, to Pensacola, to school. It had been great to have him here, along with all the other college students. Many of them return now. It's always a blessing to have him come home for just a little while. I want to speak this morning out of verse number 1. I want you to see the phrase where the writer of Hebrews said this: "Let us go on unto perfection." Now, let me calm your fears. No, we're not talking about perfect in the sense of never doing anything wrong or being wrong. The word means maturity or completion. Let us go on unto maturity. I want to preach this morning on the subject, more than you bargained for. More than you bargained for. Let's pray together. Dear Father, open our understanding, our eyes to this passage of Scripture and to other places where we will turn in a few moments. Give us an understanding heart, Lord. Give us a willing heart that is ready to receive the word with all readiness of mind, to obey it, to, Lord, listen to the principles of your book, and then to put them into practice in our lives. Speak to hearts this morning. Help me, bless me as your messenger. Lord, simply present myself as the conduit and pray that the truth from this book will flow from your throne right to every heart in this room. And I'll thank you for it in advance. Help me in Jesus' name. And amen. In this part of the book of Hebrews, the writer is persuading the people to grow in their Christianity. He is encouraging them, listen now, to go from a state of childhood to the fullness of a mature believer in Christ. Go from the state of childhood to the fullness of a mature believer in Christ. Now, let me say, no matter what age you are when you get saved, if you're 5 or 15 or 25 or 35 or 50, no matter what age you are, you are in a state of childhood, a stage of childhood, as far as your spiritual life is concerned. For me, I was a spiritual babe at age 18. I was born into God's family October 15th, 1975, 18 and a half years after I was born into man's family, January 27th, 1957. 18 and a half years later, I got born into God's family. I got born into God's family, watch it now, spiritually speaking, the same way I was born into man's family. I was born into man's family as an infant. Okay, I forget what I weighed. I'm sure I was, you know, the most beautiful baby my mother had ever had at that point in time. Amen. Of course, I was the first one. Amen. But anyway, I'm sure, you know, and that's how you're born into God's family. You're born into God's family in a state of infancy or baby, that of being a baby. To new believers in the book of Peter, Peter wrote and said to them, listen now, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Well, sure. A baby's diet consists of milk for some time. Either that which comes naturally from mom, or if that's unable, that which comes from the formula at the grocery store or someplace. And then they grow and they begin to eat cereal, and that's always an adventure, isn't it? That first time they get that cereal in their mouth, about two-thirds of it comes back out. Amen. And then you get to the place where you got to be the airplane and the spaceship. Whoa, 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 open up, here I come, you know. I've been through all that. You know, not very often, but a couple times, amen. And but you know, then they begin, then they grow up and they develop and they mature physically and they begin to eat some meat, okay? So it is in the Christian life. You start out with milk as a newborn babe, as a newborn child of God, you desire milk. And then you develop an ability to eat meat, good, sound doctrine. I mean, some of the heavier matters of the Bible. You say there's more important areas of the Bible than others? No, nope, 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 nope. Every word in this book is of God. God breathed. Every word is profitable. Every teaching is vitally important. There are just some that require a little bit more chewing and digestion than others. Are you with me this morning? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, that's what I'm saying. Now, in other words, the Hebrew writer here, verse number one, the book of Hebrews, he said, let us go on unto perfection. Or in other words, let's grow up. Let's grow up. There comes a time when you have already, watch it now, as a Christian, you've already learned about how to be saved. You've already learned about baptism. You've already learned about church membership. You've already learned about heaven and about hell. That's the things he's talking about here. Look at it. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That's salvation. Of the doctrine of baptism, you know what that is. Laying on of hands, that's church membership. Of resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. That's heaven and hell, eternal, the future, eternity. He said those are matters that are milk matters. They're at the beginning. And as a newborn babe, you desire those things. But then it says, let us go on unto perfection. You see, there comes a time to learn about serving and entering into a work for Jesus Christ. There comes a time to learn about the victorious Christian life, the life of being a witness and a burning and a shining light for the Lord Jesus, a life of bearing fruit, as we've talked about for the first three Sundays of this brand new year, a life of fruitfulness and fruit bearing. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. He said, look, you got to have those foundational matters. That's the milk of the word. You got to have that. But once you get that down, it's time to go on to maturity, to grow up. Watch, let me give you an illustration here. As a child, you begin learning the ABCs. You learn the letter says A as A says A as an apple. And E says eh as an egg. And I says ih as an igloo. And O says ah as in whatever. I forget what it is right now. But U says as in this. And you learn all of that. And then you begin to learn the consonants and all the sounds. And then you learn the letters that are in the alphabet. And then you learn how to write them. And you learn what sounds they make. Now watch it, folks. You learn those things as a child. You don't go around at age 15 and 20. A says ah as an apple. E says eh as an egg. You don't do that. You learn the alphabet at an early age so that you can communicate, you can read, you can write, you can talk, you can enjoy communication with maturity as you get older. You don't learn the sounds of the alphabet and stop there. You learn the sounds of the alphabet, you put them all together, you begin to make words and read words, and you got all this together. And it creates an opportunity, an ability to communicate, which is what part of life is all about. Reading and writing and talking and communicating with people. Now, this is what the writer of the Hebrews is saying here. He's saying here, there are some matters that are foundational. And when you get saved, you're born into God's family as a baby, and you need to be taught the infant doctrines of Christianity. But the longer you're saved, let's go on to perfection. Let's grow up to maturity. Let's start putting some more things on the plate so that you can be the productive, fruit-bearing child of God that you're supposed to be. Now, I've been in the work of the ministry long enough. I'm enjoying it more than I ever have. Now, after 26 and a half, how long have I been? Yeah, 26 years. 26 will be 26 years this coming May out of the ministry. I'm enjoying it now more than I ever had before. I've been in the ministry long enough to know that some people get more than they bargained for when they get saved. Now, you get more than you bargained for when you get saved. There's a good side to that. But for some people, it's not a good thing. It just is not good. You ever gotten into a subject? You ever gotten into something? You ever gotten into a project? And the thing just grew on you and grew on you and grew on you and got bigger and bigger and bigger. And somebody said to you, man, you got more than you bargained for. You got more than you bargained for. You say, what are you talking about? Okay, for instance, here's a man. He's got a family. Got a wife and child or children. He's got a family. And his marriage is drifting. I mean, he sees it. He feels it. He knows it. He can tell he and his wife are going, instead of coming closer together, they go further and further apart. And it's not drastic, but it's just a drifting. And maybe the wife is unsaved and not born again into God's family. And he feels like he's distanced from the children. And he feels the family having problems. And he sees it. And he's alarmed. And he's frightened. And he thinks to himself when he goes to work, what can I do? I don't want this thing to fall apart. I don't want to be drifting from my wife. I don't want to have my family fall apart on me. And I feel it. I sense it. What can I do to get this straightened out? And he gets an idea. He said, you know what? We got to go to church. We haven't been to church. And so he comes home and says, you know, next Sunday we're going to try that church out over there on that street corner. We're going to go to that church. And they go to church. And at church the Bible is preached. And then they get visits from the pastor or the pastoral staff. And then the wife or the child, or as it may be, the wife is saved, the husband gets saved, the family gets saved. And boy, they rejoice. And they get baptized. And they start coming to church. And they enjoy the preaching. And they hear Bible principles. And they hear Bible truth about marriage. And they hear Bible truth about child rearing. And Bible truth about church and dress and behavior. And all the things, money and everything that goes into the Christian life. And those family members who are new to salvation, they're excited. They're just pumped. And Dad, he's starting to panic. He's going, wait a minute. Just wait a minute here. I didn't mean for this to happen. I needed some help and things were in trouble. And boy, I'm sure glad that things are a lot better now. But this stuff about coming back to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night and doing this and being this and putting this into my life and us doing this and family altar and reading the Bible every day and spending a few minutes in prayer. Wait a minute. This is more than I bargained for. Well, you can be quiet, but I've seen it happen. This is more than I bargained for. I didn't mean for this to happen. You say, surely nobody would think that. Yeah. This is more than I thought. I needed help with my marriage. I needed help with my children. Things were falling apart and I got the help I wanted. But good grief, man, just a minute. Whoa. This is more than I bargained for. It could be vice versa. It could be a woman who's saved, husband who's lost, some problem in marriage and kids and problems, and pick up the phone and call the church and say, man, can you help me? I got these problems. And so we try to help and reach out to people, make visits sometimes on people who are not members here, who don't attend here, and try to get them the Word of God and give them Bible truth. And they take it and they receive it. And either they get saved or they get right and they get in church and they get under the influence of the Bible. And things begin to change and things begin to happen. And there's a devotion and an excitement on the part of the person who's new to it. And the other person's dragging their feet. Whoa. I'm thinking right now. And no longer here. I'm thinking right now. I was up here preaching one day. And how many first-time visitors? A man and his wife raised their hand. And I went to see them. And it was very obvious that the man was in need of spiritual help. The woman, you know, was supposedly the spiritual leader of the relationship. And she did all the talking. And I looked right at that man. And I said, sir, are you saved? And she said, yes, he is. I looked right at him. I said, sir, are you saved? Tell you something, my friend, don't let your wife answer for you. Your wife ought not to have to answer for you. I said to him, are you saved? He looked at me. I took him through the plan of salvation. He listened carefully. She's fidgeting over there and on the couch and just fidgeting and uncomfortable. And I linked him all the way through the plan of salvation. He said, pastor, he said, and he gave me the place. He gave me the time. He gave me the experience. When as a younger man, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ and got saved. And I said, well, brother, what you need to do? You know, they were in a dead denominational church that wasn't doing anything for the family. And they started coming. And him and her came. They started coming. They started bringing the kids. And boy, the kids got excited, and the dad got excited. He'd never been scripturally baptized. And one of the girls got saved. The girl's going to get baptized. And boy, went out there to visit, make a follow-up visit on the girl to get baptized and encourage the dad to get baptized. And mom had all of these excuses and all of these things and all of these, well, we can't quit. And the bottom line is that man and that man is not here this morning. And when I approached about it, pastor, my wife, see, it's exactly what I'm saying, man. She needed some help. She felt like things were falling apart. I got to do something to save this home, save this marriage. Let's run to this church and see if it can help us. And the Bible helped them. The Bible always helps people. Look at me, folks. It's not me that helps anybody. If there's anything good that comes through me, it's this book right here. This book changes people. This book makes people different. This book helps people. These principles will change your life. It'll give you something firm on which to stand. You can build on it. And that's exactly what happened. And he had to hang his head and say, my wife just doesn't like the Sunday night, the Wednesday night. They're not here this morning. Because it was more than she bargained for. I want some help to get it, and that's it. I'm not interested in going any further than when I need to get me the help. Look at her. If you go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, listen to me. The preacher is not going to get you saved and then be satisfied with you just being saved. He is going to preach, let us go on. Let us go on. Let's grow up. And by the way, the whole arrangement of the ministry is set up to encourage every person to go on to perfection. To maturity. That's how churches ought to be. Let us go on. Let us go on. Let us go on. Let's go on to maturity. Bible example, Saul of Tarsus got saved. He became a preacher of the gospel that he used to persecute. What happened to Saul? He got more than just saved. He went on to Bible maturity. Peter was introduced to Jesus and later became one of the pillars of the New Testament church in Jerusalem. What happened to Peter, the old cussing, salty fisherman? He got saved and then he grew up to perfection. How about John? He walked away from his fishing nets one day to follow Christ. And he ended up writing 5 books in our New Testament. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation. You see, there is more for you. Watch it now. There is more for me than just salvation from hell. The Christian life is more than a fire escape from hell. Thank God it's a fire escape from hell. Oh, yeah, thank God we don't have to go to hell. I'm glad for that. I'm thankful for that. I don't think we ought to ever get over that. Amen. Don't have to die and go to hell. But it's more than just a fire escape from hell. It's more than that. There's a life and a perfecting and a maturing. And that's more, unfortunately, that's more than some people bargain for. More than they bargain for. That's more than they want. That's more than they bargained for. You say, I got salvation, and I got the Bible, and I got the preaching and the teaching from the Bible, and I got everything sorted out, and I got everything straightened out, and my marriage is doing lots better. My wife got saved, my husband got saved, my child got saved, and our marriage has come back together to some sort, and our home is a little happier. But that's enough. That's far enough. All this Sunday night stuff and Wednesday night stuff and Bible study and prayer and giving and behavior. Hey, wait a minute. This is starting to interrupt my life. Imagine that. Imagine the principles of God Almighty interrupting a human's life. Can you imagine that? You reckon they're for that purpose? Well, amen, folks. It's pretty quiet here. I understand that. I understand where some of you folks are. You reckon that would happen? Sure that would happen. It's exactly what happens when you get the Bible in your life. It interrupts how you live. It interrupts what you value. It interrupts it. It changes it. Here's a man. Maybe saved wife. Maybe the man is lost. Unsaved man. Oh, yeah, unsaved. Goes to taverns and he parties and stays out all night and he ignores the kids and spends the money at the gambling casino and the kids don't have milk and they don't have food and medicine when they're sick and the wife is turning prematurely gray and praying, oh God, please save my husband and I can't rear these children and what am I going to do? God, please help me. And boy, through the grace and mercy of God, the husband comes to church and he gets saved and he gets baptized and he starts bringing a Bible to church and he reads it. Man, it makes an impact on his life and he changes and some things happen for the good and now he wants to serve and he wants to work on a bus route and he wants to do this. And the wife is at home. Good night. What in the world is going to spend all the time at church? What do you got? Whoa, time out. You see what you wanted? You wanted a happy marriage for yourself and nothing more. You got more than you bargained for. Isn't that something? You got more than you bargained for. I like the testimony of the man, that the man gave in our Sunday school class last Sunday. We take time for prayer requests, and then we take time for blessings. And a brother raised his hand, been with us for a couple of years now, 2 or 3 years, raised his hand. He said, Pastor, he said, I just want to thank you for the teaching in the Sunday school class. He said, we put the principles from the Bible that we've learned in Sunday school at work into our home. Our marriage is good. Our children are happy. Our family is close. We're blessed of God. We're doing things together. These things work. I like that kind of testimony. He's excited about it, friend. He got more than he bargained for, and he's rejoicing in it. Other people get more than they're bargained for and complain about it. Are you with me this morning, church? You say, surely not. Oh, believe me. Believe me. Yes. Believe it. You see, so many people come to Christ in a time of difficulty, a time of need. You get saved or get right, you get straightened out, they're happy, then they find out the cost of discipleship. They find out the cost of going on into maturity and they flinch. They dig their heels in and they say, wait just a minute. I didn't bargain for that. I want to come Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I want to sit my family in a church pew where there's some energy and some life and some enthusiasm. Huh? This man called me. He said, my son's 25 years of age and he's simple-minded, not retarded, just simple-minded. He said, can you help me? He said, he lives over here in Bourbonnais in a group home, and he loves church. I said, sure. So through some series, we worked it out to bring him here to church. And he was here for a couple services, and he went to another church in the area. And he went back to the old church, and, no tact, no nothing. He walked up and he said, well, I'm not coming back because that church over there is alive, and this one is dead. And he told him. And so the father called me and he said, I'm trying to smooth things over with those guys because they have been good to him, you know. And I said, I understand, no problem, brother. God bless you, man. Whatever you got to do, that's really what he did. That other church is alive. This one's alive. That other church, this one's dead. That other church is alive. You know, but this one, I want to bring my family. I want to put them on a pew on Sunday morning. I bring my husband, my wife, where there's an exciting spirit, some enthusiasm, something happening. But don't interrupt my Sunday night. We're busy. We play euchre on Sunday night. We go bowling. We go roller skating on Sunday night. I'm not about to get involved in that. Excuse me, people who go bowling and play euchre and roller skating on Sunday night are the ones that are in those dead churches on Sunday morning. Because they don't hear anything from the pulpit that says you're supposed to grow up. And when you become a man, you put away childish things. Amen. You say, "Boy, I don't care for that." Didn't ask if you cared for it or not. Amen. My main concern is, he happy this morning? Is he happy this morning? Let's go on to perfection. Let's go on to perfection. Let's go on to perfection. Let's grow up. Let's go on to perfection. Now, let me give you a few thoughts about this morning. And I want you to look at some scriptures with me. Turn to your Bible, because I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I'll make a few statements about this matter of going on to perfection. More than you bargained for. More than you bargained for. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. More than you bargained for. And by the way, people know where to go to get help. That's why they call a church. They got rock posters on their wall, 6 feet tall. They don't call Mick Jagger when their kid's lying in the hospital dying. Amen? When their mother's on a ventilator and a respirator, they don't call Allen Iverson. And we worship at his feet until daddy gets sick. Go ahead and call Mr. Iverson. See how concerned he is about your daddy who's not well. People know where to call to get help. Sure they do. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Every Baptist stops there and says, amen. Well, read verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them or grow up, go on to perfection. Here's the statement. Look at it. Number one, your salvation, listen, comes with some built-in expectations. Your salvation comes with some built-in expectations. Look, verses 8 and 9, that's the Baptist Pledge of Allegiance right there. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not worth the measure of both. That's our pledge. And boy, they're great verses, aren't they? Sure. Now, I want you to look here. Two times you got the word works. Look at verse 9. Not of works. That's talking about works, watch it, that you and I would do to earn salvation. You can't earn salvation. It's a free gift. You can't be members of enough churches. You join all the churches in the community. You can be baptized in every church baptistry till your skin is like a prune. You can do good and do good and do good and do good and do good to earn salvation. You can't earn. There's not a work you can do good enough to get you to salvation. Can't do that. In fact, the Old Testament says that all of your works, your righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. Do you see what I'm saying? But then look at the works in verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's God's works. There's a difference in 9 and 10. Do you see that? That we might, thus God's works, works that, watch it now, we might do works that God has for us to do after we get saved. Are you listening? Look at what it says here. Which God hath before ordained. Now watch it. I love to try to put a little teaching in every sermon. I believe there's a difference in teaching and preaching. I believe teaching helps the head. I believe preaching helps the heart. And we need both. You see that phrase, God hath before ordained. It means fit up in advance. In advance of what? In advance of your salvation. Now watch me. Look at me. It was no surprise to God when you got saved. Up in heaven, God didn't say, Gabriel, look what just happened. I can't believe it. Mike Johnson got saved. Well, maybe in Mike's case, that would have been a training. I don't know. But no. Mike Johnson got saved. You know, God didn't walk around heaven and say, can you believe it? Can you believe it? Man, that guy got saved. Well, God knew in advance you'd get saved. Wait a minute, listen to me. I did not say that God chose you to get saved. And if you got your radio on 91.9, listen to Mr. Harold Camping spew out all of his false doctrine. You do yourself a big favor to turn that stuff off. The guy is on record as saying that only those who are chosen to salvation will get saved. God chooses some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. That's not the God that's in heaven. Mr. Camping is dead wrong on that. Dead wrong. But you can't take foreknowledge away from God. Does God know everything? Sure He does. From eternity past through eternity future, nothing surprises God. You've heard the little saying, did it ever occur to you? Nothing occurs to God. Nothing. He knows it all. So did He know Terry Angel was going to get saved? Sure He did. Did He choose salvation for Terry Angel? Terry Angel had to receive salvation for himself. But God knew October 15th, 1975, Terry Angel would get saved. Now, that Bible says that in advance of my salvation, God prepared a path of good works fit for me. So here I am. I'm born into this life, 1957. 18 years later, I'm going along, lost as a lizard, lost as a goose in a hailstorm, on my way to hell, partying and wild and crazy and nuts and without Christ. And I get under conviction. I get the Bible. The Spirit of God draws me to Jesus. And I get saved. And God says, I've been waiting on that. Been waiting for this day. Now I've got a prepared in advance path of good works, Mr. Angel, that you are fit to walk in. So start walking. Are you listening this morning? That's for every person that's saved in this room. I don't care if you're saved at age 5 or 50. That's exactly what that means. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. A path of good works that He knows we can walk. This is more than I bargained for, Pastor. My marriage was in trouble. My family was drifting apart. My kids were crazy and rebellious. We had nothing going on. And things have changed at the house. But all this stuff about serving God, walking with God, reading the Bible, giving, and going to church, that's more than I bargained for. Friend, you got to get in with what God says. God says that from the day you got saved, there was already a prepared path for you to walk in. And it's not going to be impossible for you to walk in it because it's made just for you.
Amen.
It's made for you. Some of you didn't bargain for that, did you? You didn't bargain for that. Oh, you like the salvation. You love the fact that you don't have to go to hell. But walking in that path, that's more than I bargained for. I'm sorry. That doesn't change the fact that God has ordained it. We are ordained and obliged, fitted and prepared for good works. You see, friend, God will have His children distinguished from others by the good they do after they get saved. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Look there in your Bible, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. It's 2 minutes to 12, but we don't get out at 12. We get out about 10 after 12 every week. Amen, church? Amen. 10 after 12. We don't believe our Christianity fits in a 60-minute hour every Sunday morning. Romans chapter 6, verse number 4. Look at it with me. We're talking about going on to perfection. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Look at that, folks. There's that walk again. God has before ordained that ye should walk in them. We should walk in newness of life. Do you know someone, or maybe perhaps this has happened to you, 18, 19, 20 years of age, they started out and they kind of bounced around from job to job. Maybe they even bounced around within the same company from responsibility to responsibility. And then one day, they got that new responsibility or they got that new job, and somebody said, man, that guy is as happy as he can be. He's made for that. He's made for that. Brother Don started here part-time in June or July of 1991. Came down on weekends, took care of some teen activities, helped us on Sunday, and kept his job, I think, at FedEx. In October of 1991, he came on full-time. And we were going to Dwight for school in those days. Brother Don would drive that bus over and back and drive that bus over and back and then find other things to keep himself busy and things I'd have him do. And you know, he never complained. He never griped about it. He did it. But I would imagine that bus driving job got old. Oh, my gracious. And then one day,
Lord touched my heart, said, time to start a school. Church has grown, got a lot of kids there now. It's going to be detrimental if you don't have one. So we started the school. You know, I tried to hire an administrator. I brought a guy in from Louisiana. He and his wife came in from Louisiana, sat in the church services, ate at our house, sat in the church services on Sunday. He wanted to come here so bad. He was a gray-haired man, had experience in Christian education, older man. And he wanted to come here so bad, but I just didn't have any leadership on that whatsoever. I tried to hire a guy from within the state of Illinois. I called his pastor and I said, look, I'd like to ask Brother So-and-so if he would be interested in coming here to do a school. He said, brother, I don't think he wants to leave, but go ahead. Ask him. And he wasn't interested in leaving where he was. And then one day I was talking to Brother Don. And we was talking about school. He took master's degree courses in education. Yeah, I took all those education courses. You took education courses. He said, yes, sir. That's what I took. I got my master's in education. I said, can you do this school? He said, I think so. And we made Brother Don administrator. I have said to that lady sitting out there in that blue suit this morning, I have said to her, more than, I don't know how many times in the last 10, 11 years, Brother Don is made for that. He's as happy as a coon in the cornfield with the hound dogs tied, I'm telling you. Yeah, he is. He's made for it. I mean, I couldn't do it. I could not. It would drive me nuts. It would drive me nuts. But he's made for it. Listen to me. That's the path that God had for Don Reardon. Here's my second point. You will be the happiest when you are walking in that God-ordained path. You'll be happy. The whole thing is true about the Christian life. You know, maybe you don't know it or didn't know it, but when you got saved, there was a prepared path for you to walk. And you'll be happiest when you're walking that path. Some of you are afraid of that path. Oh, man, that's more than I bargained for. I'll never be happy. Wrong, wrong. 10 million times wrong. Wrong, wrong. Wrong, wrong. You're getting the idea. That's not right. You'll be happiest when you're walking in that path. Sure you will. I got it. New path, new life, new way. You're a new person made for that new path. That's why God gave you a new nature and a new affection and new principles. And you got saved and here's that new path. Oh, this is what I'm supposed to walk in. I'm supposed to walk in this path. Okay, amen. And you're made for it. A Christian is made to serve God. A Christian is made to live for Him. A Christian is made to love Him. A Christian is made to love fellow believers. A Christian is made to be a witness. A Christian is made for an assembly called a church. You're made for that. Sure you are. The people who walk in that path are the happiest. Happy. Whew. And the opposite is true. You'll be unhappiest when you take that new person that you became when you got saved. If you take that new person, now watch me. I became a new person October 15th, 1975. If I had continued to walk in that old path with this new person, I would be miserable. Because this new person is not made to walk in that old path. New person is made to walk in a new path. And there's an application. Don't turn to it because we are running out of time. But in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, men don't take new wine and put it into old bottles. That new wine is a picture of salvation and the joy of salvation. And you don't take salvation and the joy of salvation and put it into an old bottle, an old vessel, the tavern, the casino, laying out of church, never reading your Bible. That's the old bottle. You don't take the new joy of salvation, the joy of being saved, and put it in the old bottle. It won't work. Jesus said, you know what happens? The bottle cracks, the wine spills out, there's lost joy. He said, what you do is you take new wine and you put it in a new bottle. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to me almost over 30 years ago now. I got saved, got the joy of salvation. I didn't take it back and walk the old path. I started walking a new path, the path God chose for me. I walked it. I can't believe how much joy is in the Christian life. Did we sing Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory this morning? Huh? That just dawned on me. And that's it. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable over here in this new path with this new salvation and a new person and a new nature. It's joy unspeakable, full of glory. Take that salvation, put it in the old path. It's misery. Well, that didn't work. Church didn't work. Jesus didn't work. Guess I'll go try something else now. That's what happens. Well, I'm going to run off to the Jehovah's Witnesses and see if that works. You're missing it, folks. You say nobody in this church ends up in Jehovah's Witnesses. What are you? Don't kid yourself. I went down yesterday to Linton, Indiana. Out in the middle of nowhere. Terre Haute, South Oaf. South 20 miles to State Road 48. State Road 48, East 15, 20 miles. State Road 59, South. Passed by Blessed Hope Baptist Church where Jerry Ross is. To Bethel Baptist Church where Doug Castle is the pastor. 4.5 miles from Blessed Hope. 4.5 miles. 4.5 miles. And they get along and they're friends. It's amazing, isn't it? Doug and Jenny Castle. Doug and Jenny Castle. 1992. Two little teenagers sitting in the tabernacle at Cedar River Baptist Camp. Doug Castle from Indiana. Jenny Biggs from Indianapolis, Iowa. Saw each other. 92, I preached to them. 93, I got to preach to them. 94, I got to preach to them. I became friends with both of them. We became good to see each other, more than just acquaintances, friends. And I got to preach to them, got to preach to them, got to watch them grow up, got to watch them go to Bible college, got to watch them get married. And now Doug is a pastor, the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. And he hosted, yesterday, he hosted his first youth rally as pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. He said, would you come preach it? And I said, yes. And I went. And then I was kind of aggravated that I took it. But I got there. Boy, oh boy. She sang a song that she heard from a sermon that she heard me preach years ago about seeing the invisible you. And she choked up and cried during the song. He stood up there and introduced me to the young people. About 60 kids. Introduced me to the kids. And he choked up and cried, wept, and said, this man. I sat in that front row over there, had to fight back the tears myself. I thought, man, this is more than I bargained for. I can't believe it. I never dreamed this path would have so much opportunity and joy and blessing and fulfillment. I'm not telling you there's no battles over here. I'm not telling you there's no setbacks over here. I'm not telling you there's no fights over here. Nah, the Christian life is a warfare. But I'm telling you, in this path, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the devil takes all of his time to try to entice me off of this path. This way's nicer. This way's better. This way's more fun. He does that to you, too. I'll tell you what. The Christian life can be more than you bargained for. Amen. Exciting. Or the Christian life is going to be more than you bargained for. I don't want that. Let us go on. Let us go on. Let us go on unto maturity. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning, for giving me your attention. As you close your head, close your eyes and bow your head. As we get ready to give the invitation, would you please not cut me off for a minute? Would you please listen carefully? Who would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt about it in my mind. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand, please? If you can give that testimony, you know that you're saved. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Take your hands down.
Is there one or more here this morning? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm concerned about my eternal destiny. I don't know where I'm going. It bothers me at times when I lay my head on my pillow at night. I don't know where, if something ever happened to me, I was to die, where I would wake up, where I would go spend eternity. I do not know that I'm saved, and that concerns me. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, wherever you're sitting this morning? Slip it up right back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. All right. If you're here this morning, you've been saved but never baptized. You never followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it, but I've never not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Somebody else like that? No, I need to be baptized, Pastor. Not follow the Lord in believers' baptism. God bless you. If you want to come this morning, we're going to have somebody talk to you about believers' baptism. Teach you about it from the Bible. You could be obedient to Christ this morning. Anybody else? Pray for me. Not sure. I've not been baptized. All right, Christian, let me ask you this morning. Hey, that new person you became, that help that your husband got, that help that your wife got, that help that your family got, was that more than you bargained for? Well, Pastor, I'm glad things are better, but my gracious. Friend, there is a path of good works that God prepared in advance for you to walk in. And if you'll get in that path and walk it, you'll be thrilled. It'll be great, more than you bargained for. If you don't, you're going to get to be miserable someday. Brother Angel, pray for me. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Something that was said or preached from this pulpit, God dealt with me about in a very real way. Would you raise your hand this morning and pray for me? Put it up in the air and right back down. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And that. And that. And that. God bless you. Take your hand down. Somebody else. Are you walking in that path? Are you going on to maturity? You don't learn the ABCs so you can walk around going, A says A as an apple. You learn the ABCs so you can walk, read, write, conversation, communication. God's Word you learn so you can walk in that truth. Pray for me, Pastor. I should have raised my hand a moment ago. Pray for me. God bless you. Somebody else. That's an honest person. Somebody else. Pray for me. God bless you. Somebody else. My Father in heaven, I thank you for salvation in Jesus. I thank you for the prepared, preordained path that you have for every one of us to walk in. I thank you for the joy unspeakable that comes from walking in that path. Speak to our hearts, I pray this morning. Pray for every person that lifted a hand. That you'll deal specifically with them, and they'll be willing to deal with you. For Christ's sake, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a minute, we're going to stand and give the invitation. The invitation is the time for you to respond. If God spoke to your heart, now is the time for you to come speak to God about what He said to you. This place is called an altar. An altar is where something is sacrificed. You kneel down here for a few minutes, say, Dear God, you began to speak to my heart about this. I need to do something about it. Help me, empower me, bless me to do what I need to do. Give me the victory, oh God. If you're not saved, right here in the middle aisle, Brother Caleb Hassett can show you how to be saved or talk to you about getting baptized. But if you raised your hand, you meant business, why don't you come this morning? Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, we're playing a song of invitation. Would you come? Would you slip out and come? Give us this altar. Come on, would you do it? Would you come? Would you kneel? Knowledge God spoke to you. Would you come? Let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to maturity. Let's go on. Let's grow up. Would you come? God made you for it. You're fit for it. Would you come this morning? may you be seated, please.